Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others with the name of the game, and on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, I am here with Ms. Tanja, honey, and she is a self-care personal development coach. Okay, y'all, did y'all hear that title? This is the bad here. Now, listen, she is amazing at what she does. She takes the time to care for those who care for our children. She cares for teachers. And, you know, I'm just so honored that she would even take the time today to talk with us and share with us about her mission for caring for teachers and their self-care. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Patrice, for the invitation. Like I told you before we started, I'm just as excited to be here. I told my husband, like, hey, I got an interview on a podcast the first of the year. So he knows that, first of all, I'm passionate about who I serve and how I serve them. And so, as you said, I serve teachers now in the greater Los Angeles area, and as a self-care development coach. And so I meet with them monthly, sharing tips and strategies on how to continue to their own, like creating a self-care plan for themselves. And then I also have office hours where they can have 30-minute one-on-one sessions, you know, whenever they feel like they need it. And so it's a very rewarding as a teacher. Would you like me to go ahead and talk about how I got into the profession?
So let's go a little deeper, because I love how you're talking about you get these office hours, you visit monthly. But what started your story? What was your story in all of this?
Yes. And so I am a former teacher. I taught 15 years in the classroom as a math teacher. I started with fifth grade, then I taught sixth grade, and I've taught seventh and eighth grade a year each. But the bulk of my teaching career was with fifth and sixth graders. And so as a fifth and sixth grade math teacher, but then I went on to being a math coach and a math consultant. But, and the thing is, I wanted to be for teachers. The reason I went into, you know, becoming a certified life coach and moving more into serving the adults more, you know, the adults of the children, moving into serving them, is because I wanted to be for them what I didn't have when I was a teacher.
Yes.
And so I always tell teachers that, you know, I haven't taught during a pandemic, the conversations I'm having with them now. I said, but I have taught burnout. I have taught grieving. I have taught it sitting in the midst of a lot of loss. I have taught betrayed, and betrayed by my principal.
Yep.
I heard that I had a miscarriage. And, you know, I'm a really private person. You know, I'm an open book now, but, you know, you have to grow into that point. But if you specifically ask your administrator not to share something, you know, they're supposed to, you should be able to trust that they're not going to. So I knew I was going to have to be off work a few days because I had a miscarriage. And I asked her, you know, I have a select, I said, the teachers that I wanted to share this with, I've already shared it. And that was one teacher. And I said, and, you know, and I'm not worried about her sharing. I asked that you don't share. Well, she walked in the teacher's lounge and heard a group of teachers discussing my miscarriage. So my principal, you know, of course, betrayed my trust. And so when I got back to work, you know, she had already told me, my teacher friend had already told me, she almost told me that she straightened it too, because she was like, I didn't let anybody leave that lounge until I found out who started it, you know, who repeated it and where they got it from. Like she said, I got all that information. And because I wanted you to know that the principal didn't do what you asked her to do, which was to keep her mouth closed. So when I got back to work, I did set up a meeting and talk to her, let her know how disappointed I was. And I said, you know, and I couldn't work for her. You know, I had to leave at the end of the year because I had lost all respect for her. But I felt myself carrying that bitterness to that med school. And I said, now here these are new kids, new teachers, I mean, new parents, new colleagues. They're not responsible for how this person treated me. So I was like, you get to decide if you're going to let that situation make you bitter or better. And so I said, I need to figure out how to make this how to let this make me better. I said, I need to learn about emotional wellness. I need to learn about mental, even when people betray you and people hurt you, you know, or even when you're celebrated and, you know, people kind of hating or slick kind of, you know, slick hating or whatever. Like when you feel like you're not supported, you're not celebrated, then you're betrayed or so you experience loss or grief. Like, how do you handle all that? That's what made me go and become a life coach and then bring what I learned back to the field of education.
What I love about your story is that you talk about the different areas that people don't really think about. When they think about your burnout, they just think about, I'm over the job, I'm tired, I've lost the passion. But you really talked about what it is when you feel hurt, when you feel betrayed. And I love that. I thank you for being so vulnerable and open with us to even share about your miscarriage. And I just think it's a beautiful piece because so many people just feel like teachers are not worth the time and that we've signed up. We all signed up to just go out here and work, and you shouldn't complain. This is what you signed up for. But everyone deserves to have good self-care. Everyone deserves to have quality of life when it comes to your job.
Yes.
Go back for a second. I want you to think back to your childhood. What was your parents' self-care language? Did they have one?
Well, I think that they knew I was different. They knew I've always been, I always tell people I never learned how to play spades. Like, I'm probably like the only person, like the cousin in the family, who doesn't know how to play spades. And that's because the interaction in the game was too intense for me. All that talking, that stuff, and get loud. And even though it was harmless, like, that's just the way it goes, it's still, I'm like, ooh, this is too loud for me. Like, you know, and so I never learned how to play. But like my mama said, you know, I would spend a lot of time reading. I would spend a lot of time by myself. And so I would protect myself I would insulate myself by isolating myself. And you know, it wasn't always healthy because I didn't know any better. I just know, like, I know how I don't like to feel. So however I needed to protect myself, and they allowed me to do that. They allowed me to, you know, if everybody else may be in the front room playing games because I had two younger siblings, and I was back there reading. Or if I was trying to, they could tell I'm journaling. I used to journal. Like, so they never tried to make me be somebody that I'm not. Like, they always respected, you know, and I think they didn't kind of understand it. So even now I have to explain to them. And my mom was on the, you know, on the call where you on there on the 20th. So, you know, like, she's just now understanding, like, self-care and the way I teach it, which is mental and emotional renewal. But they always respected how I chose to, the 10-year-old me, the 15-year-old me, how I chose to protect my mental and emotional wellness, even when I didn't know what that meant, they respected it.
What I love about it is that you spoke about, for your parents, you said at the time they didn't know. And your mom, you gave an amazing workshop, y'all. Let me tell y'all, if y'all get a chance, jump on one of the workshops. Amazing. What I love about it was, as you said, you know, mom finally is learning. And I think for so many of us, I'll speak for myself in my household, it was this, I don't have time to relax. I got to get going. I got to make things happen. I have to make it work because that was the parent that I was. And now it's the thing of everybody's embracing and understanding. And I love how you talked about when you were young, you knew. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm that one cousin that don't know how to play spades either. That's not my thing. I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose my card for that one. But with that one, I know that's not my game. I can watch them. I can enjoy it, but I can't be in it. Right. And that's okay. You have to know what can you handle and what can you not. And I'm glad that you were able to see that at an early age. But I also love how you use other tools that we don't really think about, you know, as tools. You know, you journaled. That was something I will never forget. My aunt gave me my first journal at 12. And I mean, I still have it and I treasure it. And that's what I do. And I get in moments when I still do that. And these are great tips and tools that are very easy to do. If you're not a person who likes to write, guess what? We have all this technology. Use your phone as an audio blog for yourself to help get through those moments that are a little tough. Now with that, you talked about being in the field with the teachers. In this space, have you had a case that's been a little bit more difficult than others, helping them understand what it is to have true self-care?
Absolutely. I was just sharing with a friend the other day that one of the schools, the teacher, she felt very uncomfortable with, you know, and the coaching is very, I'm very warm. I consider when I show up, it's an invitation. I don't feel intimidated when people don't talk or if they don't really want to share, or because I realize that's their self-care. Like just the fact that they are showing up for that hour to sit and listen, to be encouraged, inspired, motivated, uplifted. That's the one time they don't have to talk. Like, so they want to listen. They want to be loved on. So I'm cool with, if you want to talk, the ones who talk, the ones who don't. Like, I don't place value on whether they're actually giving me feedback during the conversation, because everybody's showing up. Everybody needs something different when they show up for the workshop. But this particular teacher, she felt kind of like, because it was, even though I wasn't forcing her to talk anything, it was still bringing up some stuff, like listening to other teachers, me teaching and training. It was bringing up some stuff within her that she wasn't ready to face, or she didn't want to talk about. She wanted to leave that stuff, like continue wearing her mask, you know, continue, you know, in denial or whatever you want to call it, when you're not willing to face the reality of your mental and emotional state. And so, but no judgment, you know, we just continue to teach, train, and do what we do. But, you know, she wanted to get the other teachers to say that, oh, this was uncomfortable. These are not the kind of conversations we should be having at school, which I wasn't forcing them to have any conversation. I'm just putting the information out there, and everybody could respond the way they wanted. But some teachers wanted to talk. Some people wanted to do the one-on-ones, but she didn't. And so she didn't just leave it at that. She was trying to get the other teachers to say, oh, you know, we shouldn't be doing this during school, da da this. So the principal shut it down. She was like, no, you know, you're one out of the whole staff who having an issue with this. And everybody is just, Tanja is meeting everybody where they are. And she's not forcing anybody to go somewhere mentally and emotionally that they don't want to go. She said, if you don't want to participate, then you don't have to, but don't stop other people. Like, don't try to stop the other teachers. So that was year one. She was quiet. Year two, she was quiet. Year three, she said a little bit more. Year four, during this year, when I opened up, like, and my facial expression, like, I wasn't trying to, like, sound surprised or look surprised, but when I asked the question, she was the first one to respond. So I guess my eyes kind of bucked, and she was like, yeah, I see you surprised. She said, but I'm not going to sit quiet this year. I'm going to talk. Like, I haven't talked in 4 years, but this year. So she said, it took me some time to embrace what you were doing and why you were doing it. And not seeing, she said, and the person I really was being defensive with was myself, because she said, you were just like a mirror. Like, I was seeing myself and seeing stuff in myself that I didn't like, and you weren't forcing me to change. She said, but I knew I needed to change, and it just made me uncomfortable. And I thought if she would just go away, and then I went out to deal with her. She said, but I'm glad you did. So, like, she's the most talkative person in the group now. Like, you know, and so I have a lot of talkers in that group. I have a lot of talk, because teachers, we love to talk. So yeah. I have a lot of talkers in each group. But that was the one, like, biggest success story, you know, because she wasn't budging. You know, she wasn't budging. She didn't want any parts of it. And it was okay. And so that has even confirmed, you know, even more to me, consider this an invitation, Tanja. And an invitation can be accepted or rejected. And so if people reject the invitation, I don't take it personally. That just means they're not ready yet. And we talked a little bit about readiness before we started.
So what I love about it is that you're sharing this particular teacher's experience. And again, it's something for people to kind of understand and kind of change their mindset. You know, people are so used to, when I come into this building and I teach, it's just about academics. But here's the problem. You don't just leave academics at that door. You meet and account to everything. I'm the first to say, being a former educator, you know, health shows up, mental health, physical health, family issues, all of that walks in that door with you, whether it's coming with you on a backpack or whether it's coming with one of those kids on their backpack.
Yes.
So you have to be able to say, you know what, I'm okay with what it is. And this conversation, believe it or not, needs to happen. Now, I will say, have you had any teachers who would not participate thinking about retaliation? Because I can imagine at the school I had as my final school, these conversations were overboard needed, but it was always a thing of retaliation. So it was always a thing, well, don't say this because you know so-and-so's in the room. Well, don't say that because so-and-so's in the room. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, and what I love about the position I'm in is that, like, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's the truth. And so the leaders, the principals, they know the readiness level of their staff. Like, so the principal who I started working with when my first school in LA, she said, we're ready. So she wasn't going to base whether we're ready on one or two people that's going to be negative answers. It doesn't matter what you say. She wasn't basing, but like she said, I calmed the campus down. The kids are quiet. The teachers can teach. Now I need to invest in their mental and emotional well-being. So, you know, since then, she received a promotion. So when she got promoted to the district level, she introduced me to the district. And so when she introduced me to the district, she put me in front of all the principals in the district.
Wow.
She knew the principals who were ready to lead this work. Like she said, I know what kind of principal administrator it takes to lead this work. So because this is not just a, on one of my vision boards, I had no drive-by professional development. Because that's not what we need. Like, teachers don't need just one more, okay, for me to come and do a drop the mic workshop at the beginning, and they never. Like, that's so disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's such a disservice. If we're not gonna give them the support to carry out what they're hearing me say, they shouldn't even hear me say it. You know what I'm saying? And so when she introduced me to them, she gave them a timeline or what. And so now some of the other principals are kind of, they kind of upset that they didn't, meet the deadline, because they're hearing the teachers at the other schools and the principals talk about this environment, how it's safe and how it's come together as a staff and learn more about how to be more empathetic toward each other. But she said, I did that. I gave them a timeline. She said, because I already knew who was ready. And so because she knew and they knew like who they were, I mean, she didn't say it like that to them as a group, but as a district admin, she knew. And so sure enough, the principals that jumped on board were the ones that were ready, and they were ready themselves, and they knew that this was what their staff needed. So I haven't had, you're going to always have one of those, people kick against whatever somebody brings, because they just want the chaos. They want to be combative. You just got those people that they're wired like that. But as far as an entire staff, because the leader would recognize that they're not ready for it, and so I wouldn't even be brought in, because you have to be ready.
So for a person who's not in the classroom, who's never been in, never experienced it, you just sent your kid and whatever supplies that were asked, what are some of these symptoms of a teacher really dealing with burnout? What are some things, first, let's give the symptoms first. What are some of the symptoms that you've seen with teacher burnout?
Teacher burnout is just people burnout, because we're just everyday people. And, I know we have our livelihood is what we show up at schools every day, but we're just regular people. And so, the people who are just like on autopilot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because you can't keep living like that. So if you continue to live on autopilot, if you continue to just, just wake up, push play on your day, and, whatever comes up, that's how you deal with, you know, you have a very you have a very reactive approach to life versus a proactive approach. So, you know, you're not intentional about your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors, like doing, you know, those things that keep you emotionally and mentally well. And so you don't notice. That's the thing about this work. You can just come in and do your job and nobody will ever know. You know what I'm saying? And I always tell teachers, until that day, you know, you can, I said, you can bury this stuff. You can cover it up. You can wear a mask. I said, you go, you know, you may go to Burger King and ask, and you say, can I get some ketchup? And they tell you they don't have any more ketchup packs. And you curse out everybody across. And they're like, where this come from? You know, like just something small
blows up.
You know, because you can't take it anymore. Like you have like this one thing. All I want is a ketchup pack. You know, I've been dealing with other stuff. If I could just get a ketchup pack. And so then you realize, and that's what I tell teachers, this is why these conversations are important as teachers, as people, because our bodies weren't meant to carry all this stress. And then we look up one day and I did it. I ran from myself. That's what that other teacher was doing. He didn't want me talking about this. I want to keep running from myself. I want to keep hiding who I want to hide out in my own life. I know I'm not facing this. I'm not facing that. I know I'm masking everything. I know I'm not putting my own oxygen mask on first. I know I'm not intentionally filling up my own tank. I know I'm not recharging. I'm not doing any of that, but I keep going and going and going until I can't. And when we can't go any further, that's burnout, and it looks different for everybody. Yes. You know, people end up in the hospital. Some people curse out everybody in the restaurant. You know, some people go through, like, they just in chronic depression. I mean, at the end of yourself looks different for everybody. But I think that it's once when life has no fulfillment, like it's a life of no replenishment, a life of no joy. I'm not just talking about happiness, because that's, you know, subjective, but I'm talking about waking up and actually having something to be excited about, actually being able to identify and engage with those things in your life that bring you joy on a daily basis. I'm not talking about a trip to the Bahamas once a year, every 2 years. I'm talking about every single day before you leave your bedroom, that you connect with something within yourself mentally and emotionally that brings you joy. That's what keeps you away from burnout. And people who don't have that, that's a sign, but you don't know. It's a silent killer. Like they said, high blood pressure is silent, because you can't look at somebody and tell that they're going through that. You know, that you can't detect it just by looking at someone.
So you gave me some really great symptoms, and I love how you turned it from, it's not just a teacher thing, it is a people thing. What are some easy tips that you would give us? Do you have like three major tips you would give us?
I always encourage people to start with a joy list. Like that's where, because I realized that, you know, that was my issue. I had a moment where, and I think I may have shared it on the training, where I was headed to work one day, and I'm gonna keep this version of it short. And I had my kids, because see, I was the one who hit, you know, when they said hit the ground running, I was the person. Jump up, let's go. You know, I'm taking care of everybody else. Make sure the kids got what they need. Make sure my husband got what he need. You know, and get myself ready to go teach. And so every day started fast, like hitting fast forward, not just play, like let's go. And so that morning, I was stopped at the gas station. I was pumping gas and running late. And it's just 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm already frantic. I'm already frustrated. I'm already overwhelmed. I'm already anxious. And I hadn't even started my day yet. And I'm like, okay, I got to drop both girls. The one was in upper elementary, one's in lower elementary. I got to drop the girls off. I got to get to my homeroom by such and such a time. Am I going to make it? Well, in the midst of me, like mentally running this stuff through my head, I saw these Pepsi delivery guys, and they were laughing, high-fiving each other, messing with the cashiers, you know, messing with the other customers. Fast. Like, they're starting that day so relaxed and calm And I'm like, for a minute, I'm like, okay, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of their happiness. I'm jealous of their joy. I'm jealous of their peace. Like they're not at the Shell station rushing, saying, oh, I got to get over to the marathon, or I got to get to the X. No, they were taking one store at a time in the moment. Like they weren't at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm already frustrated. That's how I used to start my days off. And it was because I had all my roles. I had all my responsibilities that I did a great job at, but there was no time for replenishment. So because I was not taking time for replenishment, I began to resent those roles and resent those responsibilities. Because now I'm saying, nobody appreciates me. You know, oh, I'm being taken advantage of. Nobody can see that I'm tired. You know, I'm wanting people to do for me what I wasn't willing to stop and do for myself.
Wow. Ooh, that's a power statement. So everybody wants you to, everybody says, why they not doing it for them, but why you not doing it for yourself?
Because you teach people how to treat you. So I hadn't taught anybody anything, but just put more on me. You know, yeah, I'll do it. I'll take care. So roles and responsibilities, I have those still, but I have isolated times of replenishment. And that's every day. I'm going to find a way to replenish myself. So I tell people, start with a joy list. I'm not even going to say how many things on my joy list because it's not a competition. And I know teachers especially, we're like, well, if she got X number, I should have, you know. So it doesn't matter. If you start with things that bring you joy, that you don't have to go to an island to actually enjoy it. What are those things that make you smile? What are those things that put you in a good headspace? What are those things that ground you and center you and carve out time? It's one thing to know what those things are. It's something totally different to actually carve out time. Carving out the time, like not because, and I always tell teachers, that's why it's teacher keepers. It used to be about keeping teachers in the classroom. I think if they were happier, they'll be more like wanting to stay in the classroom. But no, that my whole business name and the definition and the meaning of it has evolved. And so it's not about keeping teachers in the classroom. It's learning how to keep yourself. Yes. Like keep myself mentally renewed. How do I keep myself emotionally restored? And then whatever I decide to do, stay in the classroom, leave the classroom, none of this is so you could be a better teacher, a better mom. Because this is the thing. When I became a better me just because I deserved it, everybody in my household benefited from it. Wow. My husband, my children, the teachers I serve, my friends, my parents, my siblings, everybody benefits. I didn't do it for them. I did it for me. I did it because I deserve to be filled with joy. I deserve to enter my day fulfilled, like excited about the life I'm living. Not just grateful. I've always been grateful, but I was grateful for my life, but I wasn't in love with living.
So I'm going to go back for a second. You talked about having your joy list. You talked about making time, carving time out. What's your number three?
So you have a joy list. You carve out time to do it. And then actually do it.
That's an easy one. Do it. Okay, I'm doing that.
Because some people say, I know what to do. Mm-hmm. You might say, I know it's one girlfriend that when I call, like before, if I see her number, I'm already smiling because she's so silly. Like, I know I'm going to get a good laugh. It's one thing to know I can call her. And it's one thing to say I'm going to call her Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And it's something totally different to actually call her at 3 o'clock on Tuesday.
Wow. So
follow through. It's not just knowing what to do, it's actually following through and doing it.
So I want you to give us our last words. What would be your last words for us?
Just live well. You know, life before the pandemic, we're going to have interruptions, inconveniences, and irritations. That's a part of life. It's inevitable. It's no escaping it. But when you live well, you learn how to not only navigate through those inconveniences and help you, you learn how to support and celebrate yourself in the time when things are going well. You know, a lot of people create, like they get so used to chaos that when there's nothing going wrong, they create it. They create chaos. And so celebrating and supporting yourself in the time, you know, celebrating those moments where things are going well, that doesn't mean you're not having things that irritate you. That doesn't mean you're not being inconvenienced. That doesn't mean you're not being interrupted. You can still have those things and still live well, but you have to have a practice of self-care.
I love it. How can we connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm found on Instagram. So you can follow me on Facebook at Intentionally Tanja. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. You can sign up. Like right now, I'm getting ready to send out, just now sending out the replay from the workshop. I had to get my virtual assistant. He's a teacher. So I wasn't going to dare ask him to do work during our break. So he is getting everything, the replay ready. So if you would like the replay from the training I did from Senate Counselors to Real Self-Care, you can go to teacherkeepers.com and include your email, and then you will be in that group that will receive, as long as you're signed up to receive my emails, you'll get the replay.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you. You gave me some good stuff, as I love to say on my channel. You fed like a fat girl should. And I believe, and y'all know how I say fat in my book is fabulous and thick, and don't forget it. Well, all right, y'all. So I thank you for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.